Thanks, Carol. Awesome. Welcome to Black Hawk Church. My name's Chris. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Black Hawk Church. Welcome to everybody who's joining me live in this room at our Brader Way site, and those of you who are watching in other venues at Brader Way. Those of you who are watching me on a screen downtown at the Upper House, welcome. And those of you who are watching me on a screen at Fitchburg Savannah Oaks Middle School, so welcome, welcome, welcome. Those of you who are part of the Chinese ministry, Di Zhong Zi Mei Ping An. Good to have all of you with us. Well, I am super excited. And before I launch into my talk, I'll just grab this thing that you got when you came in. Got a piece of paper when you came in. It has our finances on the bottom of it. And it's crazy great news. Crazy, crazy great news. This hasn't happened in probably more than a decade. So a couple of weeks ago, I challenged all of Black Hawk Church to see what we could do to try to end the fiscal year in a positive note so that we can start the new fiscal year. Our fiscal year is July 1 through June 30th. And to start it in a strong position. And you guys really, really came through. So we finished above a budget. So you can see on the sheet that has all the lines at the bottom, general fund, total giving, and then where we finished this year, $44,766 over budget. That's very excellent. That's awesome. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we're doing that in a year when we are still in a campaign. We're raising money in the REACH initiative. So just scan your eyes to the right of that. And you can see that we have received over $10 million. We're building a building right now in Fitchburg for the Fitchburg Church. And our goal is that when that is finished, we will be moving into a building and we won't owe one penny of debt on that building. So somebody say praise God. Yes, thank you, thank you. So things are up and to the right in a big way. Our giving is 7.44% above last year's giving. New households giving 5.5%. This enables us to do so many things. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We have 300 middle school kids in Madison Missions this summer doing more than 6,000 hours of community service, and that happens because you give to the general fund. We have mom-to-mom's ministry because you give to the general fund. We have divorce care because you give to the general fund. We have just a slew of ministries here at Black Hawk Church because you guys are generous and give, and so I'm just saying thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. What's the main idea of what I'm trying to say right now? Main idea is?
Thank you.
Say it louder.
Thank you.
That's what I'm trying to say right now. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys are awesome, very generous. It's just a privilege to be a pastor at this church. Awesome. Somebody said Brewers? No, Cubs. Cubs. I just needed a drink of water right then. It's just... How are you doing in the standings? Let's not go there. Most of you should know that water is essential for not just quenching my thirst, but it's essential for everything. That is, there is no life on this planet that doesn't need water. If you're alive, if you're any organism at all, you need water. Most of you know that about 70% of our planet is covered with water, so that if you were far away in space and you look back at the planet, it would look blue with some like white around it. It's like a blue dot because most of the world is covered with water. It's positioned in our solar system in such a way that we're close enough to our star, the day star, which we call our sun. And that sun heats all that water, and that causes a cycle to take place, which gives all of us life. It's called the hydrologic cycle. Here's a picture of that cycle. All life happens on this planet because of the hydrologic cycle, also called the water cycle. So the oceans receive heat from the sun, and that causes the water to evaporate. and goes into the sky and the air, and then it blows over the land, and that causes that water vapor to cool down. It condenses, and then it forms raindrops, and it falls back down onto the land, goes into streams, lakes, and rivers, and then eventually ends up back into the oceans, and then it starts the whole process again. Ocean, sky, land, ocean, sky, land. It's the hydrologic cycle. Why am I talking about this? How many of you didn't know that you were part of a biology class today? So my major was in biology, so I keep going back to these kind of things. This is the physical cycle that's responsible for all life, but it reminds me of a spiritual cycle that's responsible for all spiritual life. Just like the hydrologic cycle is responsible for all physical life, the spiritual cycle is responsible for all spiritual life. And we are calling it love, serve, grow. Isn't that an awesome piece of art that we've got in front of us? Love, serve, grow. And the cycle part looks like that. God did not have to create anything. He creates because he's a loving God, and he serves the world in a gazillion different ways, but primarily he serves the world by sending his one and only Son, not to be served, but so that he can serve and give his life as a ransom for men. That causes growth to happen. All spiritual growth of any kind, anywhere, happens because of the work of Christ upon the cross, either before or after the cross. That's a deep theological rabbit hole I'd love to go down, but I'm not going to. Everything's responsible because of Christ. All growth takes place because of what he did on the cross. That causes us to then love others and then serve, and then we grow and other people grow. Just like the hydrologic cycle is responsible for all physical life, anything spiritual that happens, any kind of life, happens because of that cycle right there. Love, serve, and grow. We are in a two-part series where we're going to focus on the second part of that spiritual cycle, the serving part. I'm going to start the series off this week, and Pastor Matt is going to talk about serving next week. We should be servants because we are followers of Christ, and Christ is a servant. Our mission here at Black Hawk Church is to build a loving community that follows who? Christ, that follows Christ in order to reach the community around us. That's our mission. And we should be serving not because we have to, or we're guilted into it, or because, well, I just feel like I don't have anything better to do. No, we should be serving because we're loving people, and then we serve in order to cause other things to grow and us to grow. We serve because we're followers of Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Let me set the context here for this very important revolutionary thing that Jesus says. Matthew 20, Matthew is recording things that happened at the last of Jesus' earthly ministry, and he has 12 disciples, and is kind of getting toward the end of his ministry, and the mother of two of the disciples, the Zebedee boys, the mother comes to Jesus with a special request. She comes and she says, you know, when you establish your kingdom, I'd like my two boys to be at the highest place in your kingdom. Like, you're at the top, and then I'd like one to sit on your right and one to sit on your left. And Jesus says, basically, you don't know what you're asking. And then the other 10 disciples, they listen to what's going on with this mother and the two disciples, and they get like totally ticked off. They're like upset. Because like these guys are like jostling for position in the kingdom. So they are upset and they become indignant and angry. And then Jesus, when they're all angry, calls them together and he gives a statement that is a revolutionary statement about leadership. Here's what he says, Matthew 20, 25. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your, what's that word?
Servant.
I didn't hear you.
Servant.
And whoever wants to be first must be your, what's that word?
Servant.
Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to, what's that word? And to give his life as a ransom for many. Awesome! It's a revolutionary statement right here. Here's the way the world works, you guys. If you want to succeed in life, you work really hard, and hopefully, if you do the right things, please the right people, make the right decisions, you'll get to the top. When you're at the top, you have all of these people below you who serve you. You delegate to all of these people. They serve you because you're at the top. That's the way the world works. In this statement, Jesus says, not so in my kingdom. It's completely different. Because if you're my follower, the way you get to be first is that you become, fill in the word,
last.
You become a slave to all. It's a completely different system than the world system. Notice that phrase, not so with you. Not so with you. That's the way the world works. But in the Jesus community, no. We work completely different. It's not like boom, 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 boom. It's let's jostle to see who can be last and invisible. Because the greatest is the servant to all. And the example, the ultimate example, is the greatest, the Son of Man. So you see that phrase. Just as the Son of Man, that means ruler of the world. It's a phrase from Daniel's prophetic literature. It means the one who's over all things. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served. Hey, everybody, I'm the greatest. Everybody should serve me now. But to serve and give his life a ransom for many. It's exactly the opposite of the way the world works. Exactly the opposite. If you are going to be a follower of Christ, then automatically you should become a servant. Remember that cycle? Love, serve, grow. And the early church, here's the funny thing about the early church, they took this literally. So they like actually served. They didn't try to like work their way up. No, they worked their way to the bottom. And the people who got the recognition in the early church weren't the people who had all the degrees and were ordained and all that kind of stuff. No, the people who got the recognition were the ones who took care of the house and served everybody else. The early church didn't meet in big buildings like this. They probably would have if they could have, but they couldn't because it was illegal. So they met in little tiny homes. And the people who put those homes together, well, those are the greatest. Here's a little passage from 1 Corinthians 16. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia. That's what we call Greece today. And they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to, here it is, submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. You submit to those people, the servants, those people. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaeus arrived because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve, what's that word? Who deserves recognition? The ones at the very top. No. The ones who serve everyone else. The early church took this very literally, and they were serving crazy people. 200 years after this, there was a plague that wiped out a great part of Europe. And the Christ followers were known as servants, and they did this literally. Here's what one person, Dionysius, writes. Most of our brother Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of one another. Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ. And with them departed this life serenely unhappy, serenely happy. For reason, they were, infected by others with disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbors and cheerfully accepting their pains. The best of our brothers lost their lives in this manner, a number of presbyters, deacons, and laymen. See, we serve everyone, anyone, even if it means we take on their diseases. And who takes on the disease? Well, the hierarchy of the church, the presbyters, the highest ones, the elders, they serve, they die happily by doing this. Christians all over the empire were known for this, and it really ticked off the secular world. One of the emperors, a guy named Julian the Apostate, he just couldn't stand Christians. He called them the impious Galileans. He wrote this about 100 years after Dionysius wrote what I just read. This is Julian the Apostate, the emperor. I think that when the poor happen to be neglected and overlooked by the pagan priest, that is, our priest, the impious Galileans, that's what he called the Christ followers, observed this and devoted themselves to benevolence. The impious Galileans support not only their poor, but ours as well. Everyone can see that our people lack aid from us. He couldn't stand Christ followers. He wrote a tract called Against the Galileans. You can buy it on Amazon for 99 cents. And he just rails and rails and rails about these Galileans who are always serving everybody else. Their service is causing people to move towards this new religion in great numbers. The church father Athanasius put it like this. We convince because people first trust in what they can actually see, and then in reasoned argument. Awesome. Good works produce goodwill, which leads to the good news. And the Christ followers were literally serving as they died. And that's what caused the church to grow. Now, many of you are sitting there, you're thinking, well, those are interesting quotes. I don't think I've seen those before. And man, they really were serving. That's kind of fascinating historical stuff, but what does that have to do with me, Pastor Chris? I mean, are you saying we should like start taking on other people's diseases? Well, that's not exactly what I'm saying. It'd be cool if you did. I mean, really? What I am asking us to do is to stop sitting around and let everybody else serve us and start serving yourself. Become a servant. Why? Because they ask us to. No, because I feel guilty. No, because if you're a follower of Christ, you should be serving. It's what Christ followers should be doing. It's part of our spiritual cycle. Love, serve, grow. We should be serving outside the church in our community, and we do that at Blackhawk in all kinds of different ways. Pastor Matt will talk more about that next week, but we should also be serving inside our local Blackhawk community at all sites and all venues. You guys, we're always asking for volunteers. There's a volunteer shortage at Blackhawk Church because many of us come and just sit and go, everybody serve me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's not the kind of church God wants us to have. God wants us to be people who serve. Why? Because we're followers of Christ and we belong to each other. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, And these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many form one body, each member belongs to all the others. I read really slowly to try to kind of pull some things out of that. Let's look at that again. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now remember, Christ has two bodies. We say that all the time at Black Hawk Church. Body one is a resurrected body in a heavenly realm someplace. Body two is right here, right here. So where's body two? The body of Christ. It is, look to your left, look to your right. That's the body of Christ. And he's talking about our physical bodies in the first part of that. So everybody look up here. Look at my body. Everybody look at my body. Why is that funny? My body has different members, just like your body has different members. I got a hand, and that hand is connected to my arm, and it's connected to my elbow, which is connected to my shoulder, and it's connected to this part of the body, and then my head, and all that kind of stuff. Let's say that I want to do a task, like eat that apple right here. Eat the apple. Well, my eyes have to work because my stomach says hungry, hungry. My eyes work, oh, food, 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 food. Then my hand grasps it, and then my elbow bends like this, and then I move forward, and then I can, my mouth enjoys the apple, and it benefits the whole body. How you guys doing with that? You're going, that's silly, Chris. I can see that. That's the way the body of Christ works. That's what Paul is saying. We don't all have the same function. We're different. Like a hand is different than an ear, or an elbow is different than a shoulder. It's different. We're different. But we're all connected to each other. And as we perform our various functions, the whole body benefits from that. So we have lots of needs to serve, like say at Blackhawk. So how do I know where I should serve? How do I know if I'm a hand or an elbow or an ear or a mouth? The answer to that is just start serving. Just start serving. And if you are not in the right place, hopefully your body will tell you, hey, you're trying to do the work of a hand and you're not really a hand, you're like an elbow. Serve, listen to the body. Serve, listen to the body. How you guys doing with that? It's not that difficult. Serve, listen to the body, serve, listen. And sometimes the body will give you information that you need to tell you that you really need to be serving in another place. For example, years and years and years ago, before I started ministry, I went to a graduate school in Dallas, Texas, called Dallas Theological Seminary. And it was a 4-year school, and I was learning Greek and Hebrew and stuff like that. And at the same time, I was going to a church. It was a large church, about like Black Hawk. And we had been to this church for about a year or so, and my wife and I just felt like it was a sea of faces. Sea of faces. And we didn't really know anybody. Nobody really knew us. I mean, we could miss, and nobody would miss us. But you know what they were always doing from the platform is they're always saying, hey, we need people to serve. We need people to serve. We need people to serve. Have you ever heard that? So like we finally, somebody was preaching that passage, Romans 12 verse 5, and I looked at it, actually had a Greek text with me, and I thought, he's actually saying what Paul is saying. We are actually not just members of that Christ, but members of this Christ, like Christ around us. Huh. And I should serve the members of the body of the Christ. So I was convicted. So I kind of figured, well, what do they need here? And they needed teachers in the middle school ministry. So I decided that I would show up and start teaching in middle school. And so I did. And I was teaching on a teaching team with the middle school kids. And I thought those middle school kids needed to hear what I had to say about the Bible from like the Greek and Hebrew. So I was like teaching them Greek and Hebrew. And those middle school kids were bored silly. They were totally bored. They couldn't stand my teaching. And that would make me angry. And that would make me yell more. Like, be quiet. You should listen. This is what the Greek word means. And then other things I was learning in seminary, like big words like eschatology and pneumatology. I started teaching them all of these things. And these kids were like, pneumatology. Oh, my God, my God. Oh, yeah. Finally, one of the other teachers, a part of the body of Christ, his name is Hunter Patterson, he came to me, basically put his arm around me and said, hey, Chris, you know what? What you're doing isn't working. Now, at that point, I had a choice. I could have said to Hunter, what do you mean? I know Greek and Hebrew. I know more theology than you do. That I could have said that. Or I could have listened to the body of Christ. And I chose to listen. Hunter said, you know what you're doing ain't working. It's boring these kids to death. In fact, I'm bored, my wife's bored, your wife's bored. Nobody in this room cares about pneumatology. I'm telling you that right now. It ain't working. But you know, here at our church, there is a place where we do need teachers, and perhaps you'll work in that department. I said, where's that? He said, we need teachers for the two-year-olds. I said, yeah, let me do that. So I started teaching in two-year-olds, and that worked just perfectly. Those kids love the idea of pneumatology in that class. Why am I telling you that story? Here's why. This is how you know where you're to serve. Are you to serve? The answer is yes. Yes. If you're a follower of Christ, yes. And here you know, here's how you know where you should serve. You serve and listen to the body. Back in those days, I was an elbow trying to eat an apple. I'm not good with middle school kids. We have somebody on our staff named Jimmy Barrow. He's like the best middle school teacher like ever. If you've got a middle school kid, they would love to hear Jimmy Barrow. They would not love to hear me. I don't have Jimmy's talents and skills and abilities. He's not an elbow trying to eat an apple. I was in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. The reason I'm telling you this story is because of this. Maybe like me in Dallas, you read Romans 12 and it made sense to you and you go, oh my gosh, I want to serve. When you start serving, here's a warning. Sometimes serving can be super discouraging. In fact, I would say almost most of the time when you first start serving, it's going to be super discouraging. And you're going to go, what am I doing this for? I don't need somebody to come and tell me this. But that is how we grow. Serve, listen to the body. Serve, listen to the body. And if you're serving in a place that's super discouraging, don't quit. Serve someplace else and listen to the body, because God has given you gifts, talents, and abilities, and he wants you to serve because you're a Christ follower. Christ serves. Now let me ask you one question in closing. Do you feel like you're growing spiritually? Do you feel like you're growing? I mean, the last year you look at your life and you go, man, I'm way ahead of where I was last year. And 5 years ago you look back at your life and you go, man, I'm way ahead of there. Do you feel like you're just, your growth is like up and to the right and you're just like, I'm growing, growing, growing? Or do you feel like you're stagnant right now? Or maybe you feel like, you know what, I don't think I'm growing at all. Maybe you feel like, you know, I don't think I'm growing because the teaching should be better. That could be true. That could be true. Or maybe you're not growing because you need to improve your serve. Let's look at this cycle again. Love, serve, that leads to growth. Your growth and the growth of others. If you're struggling in your spiritual life and you feel like you're not growing like you'd like to, you probably need to improve your serve. Welcome to Blackhawk Church. We have lots of places for you to exercise the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given to you. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us to not be like the world. We pray, Father, you would help us to have exactly the opposite attitude. We pray, Father, that we would jostle for last place, that we would crowd for the invisible behind-the-scenes opportunities, that we would do whatever we can to try to work our way to the bottom so that we could become the kind of people you want us to become. We pray, Father, that our service would be loving and humble. We wouldn't ask for recognition, but we would serve just because we love you. We thank you, Father, for giving us gifts, talents, and abilities and placing us in a body where we can listen to others as we all try to find our place in the body. We pray this in Christ's name and for the sake of his reputation. All God's people said, amen.